Ready.
All right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to Fearlessly Feral Living. This is, of course, Reverend Karen, and you might notice I have a guest today, Reverend Christine Green, and I also have another guest. I think I'm going to come up with a name for this note-taking app, this Fathom thing, but I absolutely love it. The geek in me is very happy. What that little note-taking thing does is provide a summary of our conversation so that I can put it in the show notes for you to read afterwards if you are of the sort that likes to read show notes for podcasts. So I am going to introduce Reverend Christine in a minute here after I do my introduction. So welcome again to Fearlessly Feral Living. I'm broadcasting to you from the Woogie Ranch out here in the back 40 of Northern Nevada, where I'm a half an hour away from the nearest gas station and the nearest grocery store. Our mission here at Fearlessly Feral is to provide a strong and unshakable inner foundation that works for successful long-term living. Our purpose is to activate inner self-awareness, and our vision is a world in which everyone lives fearlessly feral, in other words, wild and free. So I'm doing something a little different with my introductions of guests. I've been asking them for a bio, and I have a bio that Christine sent me, but I've also started doing something that I learned from a previous guest, and that is to share with you three things that I know to be true about Christine. And I'll be very honest with you. How I get these three little tidbits, other than from the bio, is that I go to their Facebook page and I stalk their page and see what's going on in their world. So, so the three things
Uh-oh.
that, yeah, no, it was, it's all good. It's all good. Trust me. The three things that I want to share with you now about Christine that I know about is that she is very passionate about peace in the world. Multiple posts about peace, world peace in all different kinds of areas on her Facebook page. Also, she has a sense of humor. There were a couple of things, a rather dry sense of humor, I think. There were a couple of posts on her Facebook page that I went, oh, okay, I get that. I see that. That's a sense of humor going on in there. And also in your bio, you told me you love photography, and I do as well. So we share that love. And the other things I want to share with you is that, and this is straight from her bio, and I want to read it to you because I think the way she worded it is so wonderful. Christine Green finds her inspiration in empowering others to grow beyond their limitations and discover their inner strength and courage. And isn't that what Fearlessly Feral Living is all about? To grow beyond our limitations, discover our inner strength and courage. She is a multi-talented woman, author, facilitator, speaker, and minister. And I also, another thing I'll share with you about Reverend Christine is that I met her because we are both on the interim ministry team with Centers for Spiritual Living. And we both happened to be in a meeting one day when no one else had yet joined. We were both early. And we got to chatting, and I said, would you like to be a guest on my podcast? And she said, yes. And we were off and running. So that's how she came to be here today. And the other thing I want to share with you is that Reverend Christine has launched a new book. It's called Conscious Choices, A Woman's Guide to Clarity, Courage, and Connection. And she launched this book in March 2024. So it's only been out for a couple of months. And it sounds quite interesting. And that's how I would like to begin our conversation. Go ahead and hold your book up, Christine. And so you can show everybody. There it goes. That's the baby. That's the new baby. Bring it up higher so we can see it better. There. Conscious Choices, A Woman's Guide to Clarity, Courage, and Connection. So I'm going to start us off by asking you, Reverend Christine, how did this book come to be? What gave you the idea for it? The process of writing it? Did anything change for you while you were working on this book? Tell me a little bit about the production of the book.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you, Karen, for inviting me to be on your podcast. I'm very grateful, and it's an honor to be here with you. I'm grateful we had that day to ourselves and got to chat together. So, Yes, so gosh, years ago when I started spiritual mentoring, I would work I ended up working with women. It wasn't my plan, but that's who came, was mostly women. I did have couples and I did have men, but it's mostly women that I worked with. And they would share their challenges in their life, what they were going through, whether it's relationship or money or self-esteem or doubt. And I would share principles of truth that we have learned through CSL, Centers for Spiritual Living and Science of Mind. And I would share these principles of truth. And it was really powerful that they would be so vulnerable to share what was going on, and I would share tools that they could use and these principles. And they would say, gosh, is there a book I could read about that? So I referred them to all the New Thought authors and said, oh yes, but they never really addressed the specific thing that they were going through, but they were generally in that area. So I suggested all of these. And then one day I got the inspiration, oh, I think I'm supposed to write this book. So I started collecting all of the stories, and what I decided is that so many women think that they're the only ones going through this process, that I'm the only one with this challenge, I'm the only one with this feeling. And so it was important for me to share their stories. So I share a lot of my stories and their stories in it to use as examples. Here's how Susie got through her self-doubt. Here's how Mary got through her challenge. And so by sharing that, it brings it home. People can relate to it. And so I share the tools, the processes, the stories, and spiritual principle. And that's how it came into being.
Was it easy to write, or did it take, was it difficult?
It was many years. It was many years, and a lot happened in that time. I was writing it, and during that time, my husband became ill, and he had cancer, leukemia, bone marrow transplant, and he passed away. So while I was in the process of this, that happened, and I put this book aside, and I published a journal, Anatomy of Caring, Insights for a Patient and a Caregiver. Because what I saw as a caregiver, it's so important to jot down what you're going through because you have half a brain. I would go to the hospital and have a book to read. I couldn't read a book. I didn't have any brain cells. I was too busy talking with the doctors and the insurance company and all of this. So I kept a journal, and I realized the most important thing is a journal. So that's how so that book came into being. And then I wrote this book. The first edition of it came out, and then this past year I decided it was time to update it. So I updated parts of it, and I added a study guide. So that because I was asked over the years, can I use this as a study guide? Where can I go to get a study guide? So I added a study guide so anybody could pick up this book, get a group together, and have a group.
I noticed the same thing too. I had a very similar experience with the loss of my husband, and I called it widow's brain.
Yes,
It was widow's
yes.
brain. Yeah. Forgetful and absent-minded and not able to pay attention for any significant period of time. And yeah, that kind of stuff that happens.
Yeah, so sorry, I didn't know we had that in common.
We do. We have that in common. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, another
Yeah.
thing in common. And that brings me to another point that I want to talk about, because so we do this thing called interim ministry, where we go into these communities that have had this incredible, huge loss. And they have a community-wide sort of widow's brain. And really, and on a personal level, when we have that kind of loss, we also have widow's brain. And I've discovered it happens not just with the loss of a spouse, but any other kind of big, huge loss. And also with
Yes.
any other kind of big change that happens in our lives, there's a period of time, and I call it the healing period, or the term we use in interim ministry, they like us to use, is conscious transition, and whatever you want to call it. I think that there is an element of poignant allowing that must occur during that time when when we're experiencing that phenomenon called widow's brain, where, as unpleasant as it sometimes is, I think we need to allow it without judgment, because it's only in the allowing of it that it can move through us and come out the other end, and then we can start to create new and beautiful and wonderful things in our life. And it seems to me like after we're through that process, that's when we get to go into clarity and courage and connection.
Yes, that's so true, Karen. We have to be the observers of what's going on in life. And we know this in our work is that to be on the spiritual journey, we have to be observing how I observe how I'm feeling today. I observe my reaction to another person. I observe my resistance. So I'm always aware of what's going on. And part of that in the grief process is allowing it. Because once we allow it and we observe it and we allow it to move through us, then we can begin to acknowledge it, to work with it. And then once we have that consciousness, then we have clarity. Then with clarity, we can make We have with clarity, we have courage and the courage to make the decisions. And then the courage gives us the connection with ourselves and with others. And so that's how the three all tie into making conscious choices.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah, that sounds
And
wonderful.
you're right, part of the grief process is part of that. We have to go through, you can't get around the grief process, but we go through it. And as we go through it, it's just a process. Everybody's is different, everybody's is unique, but it allows us to move through. And I remember somebody t telling me who had also had a significant loss that I said, my heart was broken, and they said, yes, but what happens is your heart gets bigger. Because we go through that loss and the heart gets bigger and we can hold more, we can understand more, we can see more than we did before. Don't you think? Did you find that true for yourself?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And
Yeah.
yeah, it's been, I still miss my husband, but it's been a profound and a beautiful journey.
Yes.
It really has. It really has.
Yes.
I want to speak to you a little bit about what you mentioned a few minutes ago about observation. And I call it the practice of personal self-awareness or introspection. Observation is part of it. And what I have discovered with this spiritual thing that we do, that it is so important, it's essential to do that observation, to go within, to have that personal, to cultivate that personal self-awareness and do that introspective work. And yet, so many people are unwilling to do so. And I had a lady get rather defensive with me. A couple months ago, we were just chatting, and I was telling her how grateful I was about being able to get to know me in this process. And we were talking about all kinds of wonderful things. And she said, "You know, Karen, it's really, really nice for you that you have all that time to spend going within, but I don't have time for that kind of stuff." And I thought, well, okay, maybe not now, but maybe later. Maybe later. Yeah. Do you
We
encapsulate?
will all reach that place to
Yeah.
do that work.
Yes.
It actually frees us up, as you know, because when we're able to have that introspection, we become freer because we're able to see what's going on with me, what am I feeling, what's happening with me, so I can have a greater understanding, so I can have a better relationship with you. I can have a, you know, and my loved ones, where I'm not in resistance, I'm not fighting it, but I have a handle on what's going on. And as we have that conscious awareness of ourselves, then we have conscious awareness of others, you know, and our theme in Science of Mind is having a world that works for everyone. Well, if I want that world, I have to understand myself so I can understand everyone else, so I can build a relationship with them, so I can have compassion for them and empathy. I can speak for those that cannot speak up. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you've encountered that in your work with people.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. I think now more there's a shift happening, and more people are wanting to do the work. They're aware of it. It's really all around us. If you look, meditation is like the number one topic right now, because we live in such an anxiety-driven world that so many people are talking about meditation. People are talking about journaling. That journaling is the tool. Oh my gosh. I studied journaling eons ago, and have been sharing the tool of journaling with people. And it's come around. It's like that's a big thing now, because if we want to release anxiety, we have to pay attention. So
Yes.
all these tools we've known for a very long time are coming into mainstream.
Yes. Yeah. And it's amazing to think that there are actual tools for journaling. I mean, it's not, it can be as simple as, oh, I'm just going to sit down and start writing what I'm thinking.
Right.
But there's tools that can encourage us to go a little deeper in,
Yes.
and when we go deeper in, that's where the good, yummy stuff comes. That's where the gifts start to come, the freedom that you speak about.
Yes. Yes. I teach something called conscious journaling to be aware of what are the facts going on? Because we often respond to our emotions rather than the facts. And so by separating out the facts and identifying them, then we can begin to see, well, what really happened and what am I feeling? What's my emotion? And that gives us, again, that gives us more freedom, gives us the information we need to move forward.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Julia Cameron's stream of consciousness writing?
Yes,
What
yes.
what's the difference between your conscious journaling and that?
Oh, so mine is conscious journaling is where the person is identifying what, like a news report, who, what, where, when, why. Because first we have to get the facts out and not go by the emotions. And I think, if I remember correctly, her stream of consciousness is about allowing spirit to move through us, is to come into a meditative state and just start allow the words to move through you and see what happens. And that's a very powerful tool as well.
Yes. Yeah, I use stream of consciousness journaling when I feel blocked creatively, when I feel like I can't, because I'm working on my third book and I'm just coming to the end and I'm getting a little blocked. And I'm like, I want to finish it now, and I want to finish it now. And no, there's just a little bit more to do. When or I try to write pretty consistent, regular, inspirational things on social media, and once in a while I get blocked. And so I'll use that stream of consciousness writing to unblock myself, and it works very well and very quickly. But I think what you're referring to, conscious journaling, is yes, who, what, when, where, and why, which is what they taught us in journalism school. I don't know, I got my bachelor's degree in journalism, but they taught us that, who, what, when, where, and why. Just the facts, ma'am. And then from there I can go, okay, that's the facts, and this is what I'm feeling about it. And that seems like more conscious to me. And when I write in that way, I get more clarity with things.
Yes, because we're responding rather than reacting. When we act out of our emotions, we react. But when I have all the facts and I can look at, well, what actually happened here and examine them and then see, well, why am I feeling this way? I can go back to what's the belief behind the emotion? What am I believing? And that is so important when we can find the belief behind the emotion, then we know what we're dealing with. And then we can use the tools to move us through that and to lift us to a higher vibration. Yes.
Which brings me full circle back to your book, because with that kind of journaling, we gain that clarity. And from that clarity, we gain courage and connection.
Yes. Yes. And so the book is divided, the chapters reflect different challenges. Self-esteem, the chapter two is, would you say that to your best friend? Because we have that inner critic that talks to us. We would never say what we say to ourselves to our best friend, but that's the voice inside that's happening. So how do we move through that? How do we move through that self-judgment to come to a place of acceptance, to come to a place of peace? There's one on doubt. There's one on money, on relationship, on I just did a class over the weekend on chapter eight that's entitled, "You Don't Have to Be Nice to Be Good," because we're taught to be good girls. Behave, don't get mad, don't run, don't fight, don't speak up. We're taught to be good girls, and so we don't speak up for ourselves. So how do we do that? Those are some of the topics that we examine and to uncover the beliefs, uncover the pitfalls, and then tie it into spiritual principle.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. You've just
Thank
contributed
you.
highly to my book addiction here. Must get that book. Must get that book. So, can our listeners and watchers, because this will be both on YouTube and in podcast version audio, can they find their book on your website at revchristine.com?
On the website, you'll have a link to the Amazon. You can purchase it on Amazon or any place you purchase your books. And there's also an ebook. It's
Good.
also an ebook. Yes.
Great, great. Do you have any last minute words of wisdom that you would like to offer our listeners and viewers?
Oh, thank you. I think the most important thing is to be kind to ourselves, that we are in such a challenging time in the world, and to be kind to ourselves, find a way to nurture ourselves and take care of ourselves.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, folks, this went by really fast.
It was very fast.
It went by really fast. We're about a half an hour into it, so we're looking good here. Once again, I want to thank you, Reverend Christine, for joining me on my podcast. It's been absolutely wonderful. And I want to close with my little outroduction is what they called it when I went to a little podcasting class, and share with you that Fearlessly Feral Living is a focus ministry of Centers for Spiritual Living. Your support is much appreciated and fully tax deductible. And in the show notes, I will have all the different ways that you can support the podcast. The website for Fearlessly Feral is fearlesslyferal.org. And once again, Reverend Christine's website is revchristine.com. Both of those websites will be in the show notes. And until the next time, I am knowing Fearlessly Feral Living for me and for you. Thank you.